I'm so excited to talk to you guys about today's sponsor, Prose. Prose is the custom beauty brand that is all over your feed. I had been wanting to try them for so long. And when I tell you guys that I put on my Instagram story that they were going to be sponsoring the podcast, I got so many genuine organic responses from my following of people being like, oh my God, I love Prose. I've been using it for years. So don't even just take it from me, but take it from the genuine people that reached out agreeing with me about how much they love Prose. And when Prose says custom, they actually mean it. Each and every bottle of Prose custom hair and skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of your life and beauty goals. One of the coolest parts of the questionnaire that I thought was they literally asked me about my location and my zip code so that they could understand how hard the water is here, what the UV index is like, if it's cold, if it's dry, and all of that goes into these truly personalized products. Prose even did a third-party, double-blind, dermatologist-supervised controlled clinical study, aka the gold standard in research studies, and Prose proved that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives. So try it for yourself and get your healthiest hair in 30 days or your money back. Prose is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering the Arty Friends listeners an exclusive trial offer so that you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/artyfriends. That's prose.com/artyfriends for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. prose.com/artyfriends.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara. Today, we're doing another opinionated episode. We're going to pull pop culture moments, things that we're seeing online, and kind of give our opinions. And this format did really well. The last time we did it, we got a lot of good feedback. So we're thinking of making it a staple in the Arty Friends rotation. So we're going to call it Opinionated AF, Opinionated Arty Friends. And we'll give our opinions on the internet's opinions.
Yeah. So these might spark up some feelings here, but we're not aiming to be controversial. It's supposed to be a fun bit, supposed to be lighthearted, because with our show as a whole, I feel like we try to have a balance of like some episodes where we provide a lot of value and we're like, yay, health, wellness, being our best selves, but to be well-rounded and balanced, we also just gotta shoot the shit sometimes. And this is that. We just finished the 8 Dimensions of Wellness series. So I think it's okay to be a little unhinged on here today.
Yes, exactly. And as the Arty Friends podcast, we're talking to you guys like we're already friends. And when you're with your friends, you cut the shit. You just say your opinions. You don't really care. And that's us being real with you guys. So welcome to Opinionated AF.
I love this so much. Okay. We also have a lot to catch up on. Like this entire episode could be 2 hours of catching up because you and I have both been all over.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you should start.
No, you should start. You need to talk about the dress.
Like, oh my gosh.
This is iconic.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, if you guys remember, I think a couple weeks ago, or maybe even last week's episode, I mentioned that I went to New York and my friend Lavelle is a wedding dress designer, Lavelle Fay Bridal in New York City. And the big thing that she focuses on is reconstructions. So she'll take a mom's wedding dress, an old dress, and reconstruct it into something new. And I went what was that, 2 weeks ago now? And we did the dress and she kind of rushed at it for me because we, of course, were posting videos and taking photos. But she basically took my mom's wedding dress and transformed it into a look that I could wear for my rehearsal dinner. And it's so cute. We made the skirt shorter. You can see the whole process over on my TikTok or my Instagram. We literally documented everything. And yeah, cut the skirt off, made it short. Just because I'm like, I'm not going to wear a giant wedding dress to my rehearsal dinner. Like that's just too much. I loved it. And I posted, I think there's like maybe 6 or 5 videos of like the whole process. And I posted the last one. And I think I responded to like the first 10 comments because it's all my friends and stuff. And then like, I think I'm honestly like so busy right now. So I had to do some stuff. And like 3 hours later, I had a friend call me. I was on a work call. So I didn't answer. And she was like, sorry, I'm working. What's up? And she's like, I'm so in love with the dress. It looks so good. The comments are so mean. I'm sorry that people are being so mean about it. And I was like, oh girl, I post and ghost. Like I have not looked at the comments. I knew it was going to be bad because even from us like talking about redoing the dress in the very first video, some of the comments were like these boomers being so mad that we're redoing my mom's dress. And I was like, oh, I have not looked at the comments. Still right now, have not looked at the comments, but everyone is telling me that it is like brutal. People are being so upset that I cut up my mom's dress. But I want everyone to know that this is my mom's idea. My mom knows Lavelle because I went to college with Lavelle. I've known her for like, 9 years now. And my mom was like, you have to go to Lavelle. Like, we have to do this because this dress has been sitting in a closet for 30 years. Like, it is not that serious to give it a new life, to give it a refresh and make it more fun and of the times.
I have so much to say. First, I can't imagine someone else caring what someone else has done with their mom's wedding dress. Like, obviously you and your mom sorted that out. And also, as you said, like, your mom already got married in it. It's a done deal.
Yeah.
She got the photos. She had the moment. It's been sitting in the box. McKenna already got married. You're the only other daughter. So, like you said, it would have to then wait until maybe your daughters. And it's like...
And that'll be 60 years, 70 years from when the dress... Like, let's think, guys. Are you pulling out a dress from the 1950s and wearing it to your wedding? As is. No one's doing that.
And
also with materials.
Yeah.
It could disintegrate. Like, there's a lot of clothes that disintegrate nowadays that are like 70 years old.
Literally. And if one of you or McKenna's daughters wanted to have parts of it, then they could further reconstruct what is there. They could use the bodice and put it on a long skirt. Like, that's the whole point, is to keep what you like about it, alter it to suit your needs.
And have little pieces of it. No, the whole thing is just so funny because I'm like, first of all, my mom got this dress for like $200. Like it wasn't like a $10,000 couture Dior of like the 80s. Maybe that, I don't know, even still, it's like, who cares what other people do with this, with their stuff? Maybe that I would understand, like if it was like a one of a kind, I don't know, exclusive dress, but it was literally $200. She got the sample that the boutique had and it was like the last one of that style and she got it for maybe it was $300. It was very cheap. But first of all, that's that. But also, again, it's just going to sit in a box and you could go to Goodwill and find 30 dresses like that. I could have faked this whole thing. Like this could have been a fake dress. And people online are getting so triggered. Like, I was thinking that. I'm like, this could have been a dress I found at Goodwill. And me and Lavelle could have just pretended like it was my mom's dress. And I would have still, like, elicited this anger from all these people. I don't know.
But if anything, you got a lot of views, so...
I got a lot of views. And I got my money. I got a paycheck from TikTok from all those views. So...
Good.
All I'm saying... And I will say, I definitely rage baited because... And I did this intentionally. The video that did get 9 million views on TikTok and Instagram, I intentionally made the first shot us cutting off the front of the dress. And you could not hear the scissors when she was cutting it with her mic, because I mic'd Lavelle up. But you couldn't hear the scissors. So I literally went in on CapCut and added scissor effect, sound effects.
Oh my God.
Because I'm like, I want to rage bait. Like, I want to get engagement. And it worked. So if you guys ever want to get views on TikTok, literally just cause controversy. Like what we were saying at the beginning of the episode. I went in and added scissor sound effects. Over, and now you guys will notice it. If you go back and watch it, you can tell it like doesn't really line up with like the cutting and it's really loud. It's because I added it because I'm like, I want to catch the viewer right away. So, and like the cutting is in the middle of the video, but I put it in the front and then Yeah, you'll see. So that's kind of how I think. And people are just like so mad. They're like, I can't believe she cut off the front piece. And I'm like, yeah, I know. That was a really beautiful piece. Like, I actually do understand what they're saying. But I'm like, again, what do you guys want? You want me to never cut up this dress and like leave it in the box? And then like, it didn't even fit me. I kept showing the back. I'm like, it doesn't fit. Like, we have to deconstruct it because it does not fit me. Like, you want me to be like a fatso with the back unzipped wearing it as is at my wedding? That makes no sense.
Because what, you had to add more fabric to the backside or?
Yes. So in theory, if this is why Lavelle's amazing. Like, because I think a lot of people think that if their mom's wedding dress doesn't fit them, that they can't reconstruct it. No, it's so easy. She's like, it's one of the easiest things you can do. You're basically just going to add some side paneling. So she'll just kind of add some stuff on the sides to make it fit. So she can take literally a 0 to a 20 or a 2 to a 10. It's not a problem. But she did say that when she had found the bodice, my mom had got it taken in because I think the sample was originally my size, but she lost 10 pounds before her wedding because she was so stressed. So last minute they took it in. So then they were just able to take it out and then it fit me. Yeah. So luckily it was just a very easy fix. Like she literally cut out the stitching, but otherwise, yes, it's not even a big process at all.
Well, that's really helpful for people to know in and of itself, even if having a full redesign isn't maybe something people are interested in, how easy apparently it is to make a dress bigger or smaller.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think people realize that. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, because imagine, like, let's say you did find a really cool vintage dress and you thought, oh, it doesn't fit. Bummer.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently,
as long as you're okay with like the side paneling,
okay,
then yeah.
Good to know. Well, congrats on being a marketing genius.
I know. All in all, I'm a professional rage baiter. Like, I know how to do it now. And I think I'm going to make a little TikTok video about how I... And it's funny because have you noticed, I guess, on the opinions controversy topic, I feel like in 2020, 2021, everyone would always talk about how the TikTok comments are brutal. Like, if you post on TikTok, you gotta have a thick skin. But now it's like, if you post on Reels, they're brutal because I feel like people on TikTok, like I have not gotten any, because I'm not scared to look at my comments on TikTok because I have not really gotten any negative comments. I think people are just making fun of me nodding my head to Lavelle, which I'm like, okay, if people are gonna make fun of me, like, nodding my head, I don't really care. I think that's funny too. But there's no like mean comments about the dress because everyone on TikTok just kind of like gets it. Like, this is cool, this is fun, this is fresh. But on Instagram, people are like losing their minds and acting crazy. And I feel like it's because it's like an older crowd. I don't know. I don't want to be like ageist or anything or like make assumptions. But I'm like, the comment sections are vastly different. And everyone says like, if they see a quote unquote cringy video on TikTok, the comments will be like, post this on Instagram Reels. Because like, you just get eaten alive over there. I don't know. Very interesting.
It is interesting. I wonder, this is going to make me sound even so old, but I wonder what the comment section comparatively is for Facebook Reels. Because
yeah,
I don't know what's
I think it's
wrong
worse.
Yeah. I like low-key kind of watch Facebook Reels because now I do this lady's food blog and she's in her 50s. So I have to post her stuff to Facebook Reels. So I'm like on Facebook way more now the last month.
Mm.
And I'm like low-key, I like watching them in the Facebook app. I don't know why. Like,
yeah. Is it because the algorithm is just like not accustomed to you? So it's just giving you very random stuff that maybe you wouldn't see?
I think so. Yeah, it's
because I have
so
noticed that
different
too.
From... Mm-hmm. Like all the Instagram ones, I think I'm like bored of it. It's like inspirational, aesthetic girl, like
yes.
Little travel thing. And it's like, oh, this is pretty and inspiring, but like I've seen it so much. And then on TikTok, it's like, okay, story time, someone telling me at the camera.
Yeah.
And Facebook, it's, I'm like getting random like gymnastic
videos.
It's like a whale.
Videos. Like a whale beaching or like, yeah. Or preaching.
So at least it's like interesting. I'm just like, what the fuck is this stuff? Like,
I know exactly. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about because I have, I've seen in Facebook Reels too. And it'll be like the most random thing and I'll watch the whole thing. So I'm like, I would never get this on my For You page.
Mm-mm.
I love this. It's like a refresh. It's hitting refresh on the algorithm.
Yeah, yeah. Because I would assume very different people are posting on each of these three apps. Like, of course, there's a lot of overlap, but there's certainly Facebook Reels creators that are different than TikTok creators. So the vibe is like a little different.
Yeah. That is so funny.
I think what I like about it is the Facebook Reels are a lot of times like really bad and I'm kind of into it. Like on Instagram, I feel like the videos are very good usually on my Explore page. Like they're quality and it's like a nice caption and a nice song. And I kind of like how like horrible it is on Facebook.
How low quality content it is. Yeah. Honestly, I'm going to have to go scroll Facebook Reels now and get a taste.
And then we'll have to do a YouTube shorts analysis in here as well.
Oh my gosh.
I never watch those though.
I don't. I post our podcast, Reels, TikToks on shorts. And like, I just feel like I'm way too old to be on YouTube shorts. Like I posted it and then I was scrolling and literally like one of the videos, the first video that came up was YouTuber beef with like a 13-year-old and a 17-year-old. I'm like, I cannot be here. Like I feel like creepy watching this.
It's funny because I'm sure that's what people say about TikTok, though, that aren't really into TikTok. They probably feel too old to be there. But then if you are chronically on TikTok, you'd realize that it is like all ages.
Yeah, all in all, I'm very excited about the dress. It's so cute. And I'm excited to have something short to wear my rehearsal dinner. It's fun. And shout out Lavelle Faye Designs.
Amazing. Well, what anything else about New York that was fun?
It was very a work trip, honestly. Like I wanted to do, I always think that I have more time there. And I wanted to meet up with everybody, more people, and get dinner. I did get dinner with one of my bridesmaids that lives in New York, my friend B and Lavelle, because we all went to Mizzou together and we were all in Cayo. So that was fun. Other than that, I didn't do that much fun stuff. It was really just be at Lavelle's house, because even when she was working on it, it was just so much easier that I was there. Because then she could just like have me try it on really quick. We could like measure lengths. So she could just like fix it really quick. But no, I mean, we just kind of, we went to Bryant Park, got coffee. I went with her. We ran some errands together. So I got to go see Lavelle and her element in the garment district. She picked up some buttons, some fabrics. That was really cool, honestly. Because I was kind of getting to see like a little taste of her life. And I filmed all of that too. So that's on her TikTok, on Lavelle Faye Bridal. And you can kind of see what it's like to be a bridal designer, a day in the life. I'm like, Lavelle, you need to do more stuff like this because I'm finding this so fascinating and interesting, like following you around and filming it. And I think a lot of people would like to know what this is like. But yeah, it was really quick. It was only 3 days. So that was the main task. We got it done.
You went in, you got the content, you got the dress, you got out.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I can think of, if you're going to New York and you're flying into LaGuardia, take the subway. It is so easy. I used to never take the subway because I also lived in Williamsburg, which if you're in Williamsburg, it's like an hour and 45 to take the subway to get to where I live. So almost 2 hours versus like, it was like a 15-minute Uber or taxi to the airport. So also it didn't cost as much to Uber to the airport. But if you're in Manhattan, it's literally $2.75 to take the subway to a bus in Queens. And then the bus in Queens to the airport is free. They have a bus called the Q70 that runs free to the airport. So it's the easiest thing ever. And I will never Uber or taxi from LaGuardia to Manhattan again. Cause it's like $80 versus a $3 subway.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great tip. Love that.
It's so easy. And everyone else is doing it too. So like if you're kind of scared to take the subway, if you've never done before, just know there's like a big crowd of people that are all going to and from the airport as well. And it's like so easy and safe. Well, back to you. You just got back from Colombia. Please tell us everything.
Everything. No.
Okay. Whatever you want to share. Because are you feeling jet lagged? Are you tired? You had a long travel day yesterday.
No, I feel amazing, actually.
Good.
When my brother picked me up from the airport, we like talked for an hour and he was like, your whole aura has changed. Like you're just so calm and peaceful. And I'm like, yeah, I know. This is really telling. And then today I wasn't even going to say this because I was like, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. But I went down to the shop and I like, we do it where there's like appointments so you can be there alone. And one of the other vendors like overstayed their appointment. And so I like went in with like my hands full and like I had peaches and she was on the leash and I had like a cup of coffee and my tripod. And I just like wasn't expecting to see anyone yet because this was at like 8 a.m. this morning. And when I'm like not ready to see people, it like throws me so off guard. And I think I have this like privacy trigger from my life being so open here with like New Wave and the Airbnb and people coming and going that it like really shocks me if I think I'm going to be home alone or like at the shop alone or something. And then like other people like show up because that has been the story of my life for 4 years of having just a very open door policy type of thing. And it like made me so anxious for the day. Like it really wasn't that situation. Like it's no big deal, but it like triggered so much from the last 4 years. And I think it happened for a reason because I really am just trying to go back to Colombia like ASAP. And I just am in an era and a stage where like, I just want my own apartment. Like I do not want Airbnb guests. Like I do not want people coming in. Like I want, if I leave my coffee cup there, like I just want to know what's there when I get back. And it's been a beautiful few years of being very welcoming. But in order for me to be my best self, like the last 3 weeks having space to myself, I'm like, wow, I can just be a way better employee, friend, gym girl, like if I have my own space. Because otherwise it feels like I'm like working and hosting 24/7. Like I like can't relax because it's like I'm always working. And so coming like right back into that, it was like flip Airbnb, work, like it just went from such peace to not peace very quickly. And so right before we recorded, I had to like meditate and be like, it's literally fine. If you don't like it, you can leave. Nothing is permanent. And so I guess this is my, I probably shouldn't announce this because I still need to tell my building owners, but I'm saying it because it will hold me accountable, but I'm finally actually not going to renew my lease here. Mm-hmm. It ends in July. So if anyone wants to live above a bar that plays music until 3 a.m., call me. I'll put you in touch. And it's really, really sad because this space is so beautiful and it's like done a lot for me. But being away, it made it easier to make that decision, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm here, I'm like, oh, it's my home and like I'm really attached. But then when I left and thought about it logically, it's like, okay, at some point you need to be able to go to bed before 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, it's not healthy. It's not sustainable because it makes it really hard to get up early. And I like to get up early, but if I don't go to bed till 2 or 3 in order to get enough sleep, it's like, I still have to wake up at like 8:39. And then I feel behind every day because then by the time I do my morning routine and check my phone, it's like emails have already come in. And I feel like I like can't get on top of the day. So then it's like a domino effect of like feeling behind, like running into that girl this morning at 8. If I would have been able to get up at 6:30, I wouldn't have been like taking my coffee down there. Yeah. And so it's like a repeating pattern. And I just had to like be honest with myself about it. And I am very sad, but there will be better things to come and it's going to be fine. And this is so toxic of me, but if you guys have like ever gone through a breakup and have thought like, oh, I don't want to be with them anymore, but I don't want them to be with someone else. That's how I feel about this space. It's like, I don't want it anymore, but like, I'm going to be sad to watch someone else like make it into their
home. Your apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. That I like did all this work on, but it has to happen. It's fine.
You're like, no, this is my apartment. What are you doing here?
Yeah. But so last night I was like, wow, one night down, 89 to go.
Wow. I mean, end of an era for sure. Like that is the most iconic. The desert, what do we call it? The desert paradise oasis or something. The GPO.
She's cute. It's, and so I even blocked off like the Airbnb calendar the last 1 week in the end of July, because there's a booking like the third week. So I'll have to fulfill all the Airbnb bookings. And then that last week, well, I can clean and do all that stuff. But even in 1 week, that's like way too much. Like I'm so overwhelmed by how much I have here. There are 5 beds, 2 couches, 2 kitchen tables, like desks, like closet, like the attic closet thing on the Airbnb side has like tools and just random stuff. So I feel like this 3 months before my lease ends will be like purging and selling stuff and all of that. And kind of on the same note, I really want to sell my Omaha local brand because I just like don't do enough with it. And like it has so much potential to help so many small businesses. And I just like don't have the capacity to do it. And if I'm not here that much, it's kind of silly if I'm like running it. But I started the Instagram account at the Omaha Local in like 2019. And I also have a TikTok handle for it, an email, and like a Google Drive of like literally 1,000 photos. And it, like the videos perform well. When I made one of 1404, we literally made so much money like the following weeks from that one video. Everyone was like, we saw the reel. We saw the reel. We found you on TikTok from that video. So if there's like an ad agency or a bank or you have a small business in Omaha and you want to buy that from me, let me know. It's another thing I got to let go of. And
or a person like that wants to be a content creator. It's local.
Yeah.
I would do that.
You could monetize it quite quickly. Very well. It would take no effort. I just don't have time for it anymore.
And get free meals, like with that kind of stuff. I think there's like 10, maybe 15 different like St. Louis local, not the same name, but like St. Louis local pages like that. Like one's always called Local Bestie, St. Louis Bucket List. And like they get invited to free dinners every single week, drinks, openings of things. Then they also get paid to do stuff. One of the girls just got paid by like an apartment complex to go and do this whole big thing for the Cardinals opening day. So if you're someone in Omaha that wants to do something like this, this is a very good opportunity. I know, I'm just not trying to sell it, but I'm it is.
I know, like, I get invited things all the time. They're like, grand opening of this restaurant, like come. And I don't know. My heart is not there for it. And that's why it's like sad. Like someone else should be getting these awesome opportunities. And like when I first started it, I was so passionate. But I think one of my best and worst traits is that I'm like very curious, but then I get bored easily. So when I first started the page, it was so fun because I was like, oh, I can go try all these restaurants and these coffee shops and do these things. And now I'm like, I've done it all. Like I'm bored. I need a new city to like uncover. And of course, I always still love Omaha and it's like my favorite little spots. But the magic of discovery is not there anymore.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And there's people, for someone else.
That has roots. And they're sat in Omaha and does still have that curiosity or like wants to do stuff. That's perfect.
So yeah, that was not really anything about Columbia, but those were the emotional takeaways of what needed to happen that I came to while I was in Columbia, which was very, very important. And overall, yeah, it was an amazing trip. I will give more updates on more things to come. I'm already dropping too much. I'll space it out. But yeah, came home. My siblings kept all my plants alive. That was like a really big thing because I was like so worried every day. I was like, are my plants okay? Are they fine? Are they fine? And they're like, they're alive. And I'm like, but are they like alive, alive? Or am I going to come home to like sad plants? Because I think I talked about it in January, the person that I had watching the plants, a lot of them died and I was like very traumatized. And like plants are expensive. They're my babies.
They are expensive.
And I have like nice plants, like $150 cacti from, Anyway, that was really relieving to come home to my plants being alive. Also, update on Peaches. Remember how I was like, something's wrong with her booty hole.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how anyone could forget. It turns out she had a bladder infection. Ugh, poor baby.
Peaches.
But yeah, she went to the vet and got some antibiotics and she is alive and well. But something was wrong.
Okay.
And we, at least I could identify, I'm like, something with her privates is not good.
She's uncomfortable.
Yeah. So after I contacted the groomer and I was like, what do you think here? Like, was the razor, did she have razor burn? Did she get nicked, whatever? And she was like, I don't know. I don't think so. And so I was like, okay. So while I was gone, my mom took her to the vet and she's had a little bladder infection. Now she's healed.
Okay. False alarm on the grooming error that we falsely accused them of.
I did. I sent her a long message. I was like, sorry, it turns out I had nothing to do with the groom.
That's why we didn't ever say what groomer.
Well, I have a grooming appointment with her on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Because she makes her look so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what else? Softball. Tomorrow I'm going to Junk Stock.
Oh my gosh.
A partnership. So that's fun. So they're doing like a whole vintage field trip, I guess. It's like Junk Stock is one part and there's like a few other shops in like small town Nebraska. So they gave me a rental car to like drive around to them. I don't really know, but I convinced Jesse to come with me. So we're going to be cowgirl yeehawing around. I should have requested like a big pickup. I mean, I already have one, but like a nice new Dodge Ram.
Yeah. Whipping around in case you buy anything.
Yeah.
Well, you're not, but me, Jesse.
True. Yeah. Oh my gosh. The funny thing about coming home now, I actually feel like coming home seems like a joke. Like when I was gone, I had like such good routines and was like working a lot, getting things done, thinking big picture. And now that I'm home, it feels like everything is a joke. I don't know. Like it feels like I'm like playing a little character. I don't even know if that makes sense, but it's like, I just got to get, do these little things here in order to fulfill this mission.
Yeah. Do the tasks here so you can go back to Columbia life.
Yeah. Yeah. I already miss it.
Any fun things that you want to shout to anyone going there? I feel like you've given a lot of good things.
Yeah. I feel like I need to make like a whole list. Like if anyone's going, I have a Google Maps folder of some places that I can just like send you the link, but eventually I'll make something way more organized and comprehensive. Yeah. Okay. Peaks of the week.
I'm going to say my peak of the week last weekend was my youngest brother's college baseball team's senior weekend. So I went down to Birmingham, Alabama, and we went to his games, watched him celebrate senior night. And yeah, it was really sad, honestly. End of an era. You play a college sport, or no, sport in general, your whole life. And then it gets senior night and it's like, oh my gosh, this is the end. But they won their series. That was good. They won the little, because they played like three games against a team. They won the series. That was good. And yeah, it was fun to see my parents. My parents live down there, and Riley and his girlfriend Darby. And yeah, Connor came, Margo came. So it was a fun little time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, once Riley graduates, all the kids are done with college. You're all just going to be like real adults.
I know. I think my parents are going to be crushed, honestly. My mom had a very fun time this season. She got very involved with the baseball team, and because they'll play a lot of doubleheaders, and they had to like bring their own food or just like buy something from the concession stand. So she was organizing all these lunches and organizing how they could feed all the players in between games. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're funny. Oh. So I think she's going to be sad when all that's done. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, she'll have to find something.
Find a hobby.
Lolo, get a hobby. No, I can imagine as a mom, that's like so sad because they get so much joy from doing things for their kids. And then it's over.
Exactly. So yeah, that's my peak. What's your peak?
There were so many peaks, but I did go to this store called Makeno, M-A-K-E-N-O. It was like a curated, sustainable brands, very intentionally chosen concept shop. They had like some home decor, like a cool little patio in there that like overlooked the street, a lot of clothes, swimsuits, workout stuff, jewelry. And it was just very much my vibe. I was in there for like at least 2 hours because I was like, I have to look at every single rack and things. I got the pants that I'm wearing. I got a couple swimsuits, which, fun fact, I had zero swimsuits. Zero.
What? How?
I just never find one that I like. I don't know. And while I was there, there was multiple times that I wanted to go to the pool. And I was like, I literally don't have a swimsuit. Like, don't own one. So I changed that. Got two cute little swimsuits and a workout set. Was there something else? I don't know. But it was just so fun. And there was very inspiring. It was like up on the third floor, which is really cool. I had to like really go out of my way to find it. It's like in through one entrance, like up the stairs, ring the doorbell, get let in, go down the hallway. The whole time I was like, I hope there's actually something up here.
Like, am I going the right way?
But yeah, it all worked out. And then I asked them, I was like, okay, are there any other shops like this? Because this was so cool. And the lady recommended me to this furniture shop. It was like furniture, home decor, rugs, art installations. And crazy enough, it was like on this street that I like walked down all the time, but it was just one little door, very like New York vibes, where it's like an industrial door with a tiny, like 2 inch by 2 inch sign that had their name. And then you only like get let in if you ring the doorbell. So I like kept walking past it and I like went into this restaurant and I was like, where is this shop? And so he like walked me to it and I went in and I was just astounded. It was like a warehouse. The ceilings were like fucking 5 stories tall and they had all of these like metal stairs and different levels. I cannot even explain it. It was crazy. It was so cool. And it would be like an art installation and then like a little room set up where you could like buy the stuff. And then it would be like ceramic wares, like all on different floors. It was sick. I don't know. But that shopping day was just very fun.
Oh, that's fun. Was that near the end of your trip? A fun way to wrap up?
Yeah, it was the second to last day.
Oh, so fun.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Listener speaks of the week?
Yeah. Anna said, making some extra cash, dog sitting, and dog walking. Okay, love that. Who doesn't want to spend more time with some pups?
Aw, Melissa said, listening to your podcast, it always makes my week, smiley face. Thank you. This is okay, the most like narcissistic ego thing I've ever said. But last week, I was like kind of feeling lonely. Like I'd hit that point where I'd been in Colombia for a little while without like my friends. And when I was like listening to our episode to like play back to it, it was like so comforting. I like, it didn't feel like it was me talking. Like it did feel like my friends. I don't know why me being in a different place made it feel that way. Mm-hmm. But I like kind of get it now.
Like I get why people like us, like honestly. That's hilarious. Okay. Hannah said, went to yoga for the first time all by myself. So proud because it's been something I've been too scared to do for years.
Oh my God.
We're so proud of you.
And kind of along the same lines, Mia said, I'm finally branching out to meet friends after a year of living in a new state. We love this. Maybe everyone's little... As a retail shop owner, I know how important it is to have a good, reliable POS system. That's why I'm so excited about our sponsor today, Shopify. Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person online sales into one source. Track everything across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers both in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. That is all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/alreadyfriends to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thank you again to Shopify for sponsoring the Already Friends podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Homework for the weekend. Do something that scares you a little bit.
I love that. Okay, should we get into today's topic?
Hot takes. I'm
Topics.
Ready.
Me too.
Where do we begin? There was no shortage of videos for in your and I's saved folder to discuss.
I know, and that's the fun part. Is there so many fun things to talk about? Like people just post crazy stuff on the internet.
Yeah, that is true. There's a lot out there.
We can start with a light one. Should we start with a light one?
Yeah.
I think it's okay to ask your friends to ride to the airport, even LAX, even at rush hour. And actually, it's more than okay. It's radical. Because there's this thing called the small favors economy. And the idea is essentially that in the past, people used to rely on their community, their network, their neighbors for small favors. Things like rides to the airport, things like a cup of sugar, things like borrowing a dress for an event. But now with late stage capitalism, those things all seem like rude for us to ask because we could just do them ourselves. Like we could just call an Uber instead of inconveniencing a friend, or we could order a dress on Amazon and have it get there tomorrow, or we could like Postmate our groceries instead of like asking around if anyone has anything. And that's actually really bad because it drives us further into isolation from each other and from our friends, which is good for literally no one except for the people who are trying to sell us stuff on our phones. Honestly, I think we all need to get a little bit more comfortable with the idea of inconvenience. It's really not that bad. And actually can in this case be really good. Like if you ask your friend for a favor, they'll ask you for a favor. And it's a great cycle and a great way to deepen that friendship and stop our loneliness epidemic. So if you are my friend, I will be asking you for a ride from the airport soon. It's good for us, so say yes. And I offer too. Like, I am out here offering airport rides, to be clear. If you're going to be, you're going to ask for small favors, you got to give and offer small favors.
All right, okay. What do we think?
I love this. And of course, to reference our social wellness episode with Dr. Chelsea Shields last year, she basically said this in other terms too. And I'm laughing at the airport part specifically because I live so close to the airport and I had an Airbnb guest last month and he was getting in at a time where I like wasn't doing something. And I was like, do you want me to pick you up from the airport? And he was like, no, I'm good. I'll get an Uber. And when he got here after we became friends, he was like, I have never had an Airbnb host offer to pick me up from the airport. He's like, I thought you were like a murderer. And I was like, no, I'm just being nice.
Like, sorry that I've offered.
And so he did let me drop him off at the airport.
Oh my gosh. Wait, that's cute.
Yeah, we're pals. Shout out Mo. I bet he listens. He was a homie. We'll reconnect in life later again.
No, I agree with you. I love this, especially the bar and clothes part. Because I think people are getting more comfortable asking people for rides, especially close friends. But I had a friend who was going on a trip and she asked me if she could borrow some of my clothes. I'm like, yeah. So she came over. I'm like, it's winter. It was all vacation stuff. I'm like, take whatever you want. She's like, are you sure? I'm going to be gone for like 3 weeks. I'm like, take literally all of it. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not using. Also, I have like 30 swimsuits. I know you said you have like zero. I have like too many because I just like options. So I'm like, take all of these. Like, I don't even care. So I think it's great. So why buy something new when you can just borrow?
Especially if it's for a one-time thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love this as a secondhand shop owner. Obviously a big fan of like reuse, borrow, etc. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think maybe the hot take portion of this is she's like, it's okay to be inconvenient. And I think in our culture in America, everything is so like I, me, because everything is so fucking expensive. So everyone's just working all the time. But If we like really unpacked everything, we wouldn't have to work so goddamn much if we didn't have to buy everything. And so I think it's like the cycle solves itself. Like if you can borrow from your friends and help each other and get roommates and watch each other's pets while they're gone and water their plants and like all those things. Like if I wouldn't, when I went to Columbia, my mom watched my dog, I would have had to pay like $1,000 for a dog sitter. Mm-hmm. My siblings watered my plants. I paid my siblings like a little bit of cash to help flip the Airbnbs while I was gone. I could have had to outsource that to like some expensive cleaner. I had one of my friends like shoot content at 1404 one day. Like, of course I'm like Venmoing people, but like to have actually hired like a real company to do those things would have been like crazy expensive. And like they get the benefit of having a little cash. It helped me. And I would way rather like ask my friends and pay people I care about and give them money to buy things that they want than someone who I don't even know.
Yeah. Well, and I will say, it's like you said, it's being an inconvenience and like the I mentality, because this girl stitched that video. And I was also going to include that one too, but I'll just give you the summary. But this girl stitched it and she was basically saying that like everyone trying to prioritize like everyone's mental health has made us all super selfish and like created boundaries of things that are just part of being a community. And so kind of like, no, I don't know, it's obviously a fine line because you don't want to tell everyone to not have boundaries and like say yes to everything and be a yes people pleaser. But it's like, no, I can't do that because that takes away from my peace. It's like taking someone to the airport for 20 minutes. Like, come on.
Yeah. And I think in the original video, how she said it drives us further into isolation. I think that then is what's hurting our mental health because we think we have to do everything on our own. Mm-hmm. And then when you actually just like open up, like for example, tomorrow, it's like, I wanted to see Jesse this weekend, but I also like have to go to Junk Stock. And I was like, hey, if I pick you up and I buy your entry, you want to come with?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a win-win. Like we all can help each other succeed. And like with my dad's truck, like there's been multiple times where Jesse's like needed something from Facebook Marketplace and like we go pick it up with the truck. So it's like, if you just communicate with your friends and siblings and partners, like the things you need, sometimes they're the person with the solution. It doesn't have to be that complicated. Like,
yes,
you just do it.
And I don't remember if she said that in the video or if it was a stitched one, but by doing these small favors and doing things like that, then it makes hanging out way less daunting. It makes it way less of an occasion where you need to get dressed up and go to a dinner, get drinks. Like if you're just doing these small favors and seeing each other in little small doses, it makes it way less of a thing to have community and have friendship.
Because it should be integrated. And I think prior to the wellness series last year, I always thought of like my social life as this separate thing. Like, okay, Friday night we're going to dinner. And like you said, then there's like the buildup and it's like a whole thing to where...
And then if it get canceled, like then it's just you have no social dose for another week or two.
Yeah. Instead of just being like, no, I'm just doing life with people. Like I'm working on my laptop today. I'm going to be at this coffee shop. Come by if you want. And I need to go to yoga. Come hit a class with me if you want. I'm going to be walking my dog Saturday at Jean Leahy. Come if you want. And then you can see so many people like that over the next week, like tonight at 4:00. It's like my friend Hillary is in town and we both need to go for a walk. It's like, okay, 4:00. Like it doesn't have to be that complicated.
No, I totally agree with this opinion. And I think that it's a good thing that we can all be reminded of.
100%. Okay, let's do a spicy one. Okay, this one is controversial. It has so many views. The original creator is Engineer Mom. And then, I'll play the original.
I believe that women are single by choice because men aren't single by choice. They may be finding women to go on dates with, but nothing's sticking. And so they're lashing out at women saying things like, have fun being single or enjoy your cats. Sir, that's the whole point, is that I am having fun being single and I love my cats. And I also love my peace of mind, not having to be accountable to somebody who isn't really that interested. He's not interested in me and my life and things that I want and need out of life. He's interested in his own feelings of being alone and being single. And why can't women just do what he needs them to do? As men age alone, it is not good. Ask any hospice nurse or nursing home nurse or even hospital nurses. No one's visiting. And then the men are not okay. But I'm finding that as I age, I am getting happier and happier with myself and my girlfriends and my family. And the idea of having to accommodate a man's insecurities or even securities is just less and less appealing. Us ladies are getting together. We're growing our friendships. We're doing things. And we're finding that we're happier than we've ever been. And men can absolutely not understand that. They want to be able to do less and less and know that there's a woman there to drive them to the hospital or organize their medications or just sit around and do whatever it is that they want to do and take up time and space in her life and accommodate him. And I would dare say, especially the men that are just doing a bunch of dating and saying that they're having a great time and nothing is sticking for them, the men that I know that are dating a bunch are looking for a permanent woman. They're not really happy with that lifestyle. Of course, they have to pretend, you know, like that's the dream. But they're looking for the ride or die until they're 80 and they know that that person's going to be there to help them change their diapers. It's terrifying to them. But me and my girlies and my family, we know that we'll show up for each other because there's no expectation that we're going to change or that there's anything wrong with us. We're just doing what we want to do and enjoying each other's time and space. No one needs to change. But men get their hands on a woman that looks like she might stick around, and immediately he's got a list of things that he's going to need from her. Need. So I say the same thing back to those men. Have fun being single. I happen to love it.
Oof. So basically she's saying the men that are commenting on people's videos that are single, like have fun being single forever, they're the ones... What did she say?
Okay. The main premise of the video is that women are single by choice, and men are not single by choice.
Okay.
And as she's getting older, I think she's realizing that men are more dependent on women than women are dependent on men, is kind of what I'm gathering. And I think the underlying tone of it is because the girlies, we have each other. We talk about our emotions. We are like, come over, let's cook, let's clean together. Let me give you that ride to the airport. Like, let me watch your kid, let me watch your dog. And historically, men have not been as emotional with each other. So rather than them having a bunch of guy friends that they can open up to and ask favors for, they go to their female counterpart for those things. And so the men need the woman in their life. But the girlies, they're like, I already got my women. So like, if you're a man, you got to add something to my life.
Mm.
That is what I'm gathering from all of that.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it definitely is pertaining to like a certain type of man because I feel like we all know that kind of person. Like personally, I can't relate That's why I chose Mary Connor. I'm like, he's very independent. I don't think he's ever going to be, he doesn't come to me being like, okay, when are you going to do the laundry? Okay, when are you going to make the bed? Like, when are you going to do all this stuff? Like, we're both very hyper independent. But I can think of like a loser man in my head when she was saying all of this. And I know exactly what kind of person she's talking about. You know what I mean? So I do see what she's saying. To give people hope, I don't feel like every man is like this. And I think generalizing an entire, you know, population of the world is not good. But I think this is just a good sign to be picky. Don't settle, because you're right. I feel like she is right. Like, there are those men that are just going to want to marry you to get a free babysitter, house cleaner, cook. I don't know, but you're right. They need to be, and like, I mean, as crazy as it is, I think if you are someone that wants to be a stay-at-home mom or do that kind of stuff, if that other, if your counterpart is providing income and providing comfort for you, I mean, it's not like a bad trade-off. Like, I know that's crazy. But you know, if you're doing the house stuff and they're doing like the work stuff, I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. I think that's so fine. But this person needs to be like self-sufficient a little bit.
Yes. Okay. Hitting on the point of like, I don't think it's good to generalize an entire part of the population. I think that the men that have that man mentality, like prior to recent times, the man was the financial provider and the woman, like you said, provided the emotional, the home stuff. But now that women are entering the workforce, women are also providing income. So I think it just, you have to find someone where the levels balance to where then, okay, if you're also contributing income, then the man then also has to contribute the other things. The woman can't be working and still be the babysitter and the cook and the cleaner. And I think that a lot of men have totally adapted and make great dads and contribute around the house and do the errands. And I think that there are a lot of women who do just want the man to pay for things. And so I think a guy could just as easily have made this video being upset with women who just want them for their money. Because I have a couple guy friends that make a lot of money, and one will be making even more way soon. And he was like, he's like kind of wounded in dating because he's like, I just feel like women only want to date me for my income. Like, they don't want to actually date me for me. And it's hard to find like and build that trust with someone. So he's like, I almost like don't even want to tell people like what I do or how much I make, because I just want them to actually like care about me.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting thought, because if you are older, because this is how old was this lady in the video?
I feel like maybe 60.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking that it was definitely more in the older ages. That sounds terrible. I mean, 60 is not even old, but just from the way she's talking, because I think with that perspective in mind, if she's getting negative comments on her videos, like have fun dying alone or whatever, I feel like her point is probably valid. Like, a 6-year-old woman that is single is probably choosing that and has her peace and is very sufficient. Whereas a 6-year-old man, I don't know, unless he has his life figured out, got his stuff together, he probably is just wanting the next, I don't know, babysitter kind of thing.
I think the main takeaway for me is that it's good to have a lot of people in your corner, so that then if you do go through a breakup or you lose someone, family member, like, you want to have a lot of people around you, so that if you do end up in diapers in a nursing home, you got more than one person that can help take care of you, because it all takes a village. And we all need each other. We all need a lot of people. And whether that support comes from a significant other, friends, family, like, it's good for it to come from somewhere, and hopefully all of the places.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay. I think you should do number one.
Okay. I like that one.
This next video that Kara found, it is really long. I'm just going to play like the first 30 seconds, so you can like hear her tone of voice and stuff.
I literally can't stop thinking about the time that a friend of mine gave me this Hams chain. And she was like, happy birthday. This is for you. This is such a collector piece. Look, I have one. I love it. I want you to have one too. I was so impressed and actually shocked that she got it for me. And I was like, wow, I've always admired it on you. And she's like, I know you complimented me on it before. So I thought like you should have one too. I had to pause because my child was not having it. But she's like, yeah, I know you compliment mine all the time. You should have one too. So here you go. Now we can match. And I loved it. I was so grateful. And I eventually ended up buying a second one. The obsession grew. And then I bought a third one. Around the time that I bought the third one, I was planning this shoot for this new business that I was launching. And I was telling this friend, I was like, I'm going to do my makeup for it and my hair and whatever. I'm not going to like waste any money, blah, blah, blah. She was like, no, I'll do your hair and makeup. I would be happy to do your hair and makeup. And I was like, oh, okay. And she and her sister decided to do their hair and makeup for me for the shoot. Around like 30 minutes into the shoot, I felt like the vibe had changed and they were being really weird. They were with.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's a good cliffhanger.
Yeah. I think that's good. Basically, this girl got her hair and makeup done by the friend and sister. And then they like kind of ghosted her, didn't talk to her for a week or something. And then she kind of followed up and was like, hey, are we all good? And the friend was like, I was hoping you would notice that I didn't text you for 4 days. And then this whole kind of thing ensued. And I guess they were going to jump on a call and talk about whatever had happened. And then the friend like didn't feel like she was ready to take a phone call. And so the girl was like, okay, well, like we can talk whenever you want to talk. And then I guess they jumped on the phone and this girl just like blew her up and was like, I bought you the one hand chain and now you have three and you're totally copying me. And like, I guess then also brought all these other instances where this girl had made her mad and just had accrued and built up and she kind of blew her up. And I guess now they're not friends anymore. Is that kind of the whole story?
Yeah. And for anyone wondering, since you can't see, the hand chain, it's like a bracelet. And then there's like one piece that connects to like the top middle finger.
Okay, yes.
And it's like a unique piece of jewelry. Just to give like more context that it's like maybe not like as common of a jewelry piece, but the friend initially had bought it for the creator who made the video. And after doing a little more research, the hand chain was $650. So that does add an element to this that the friend bought her friend a $650 gift.
Okay, so what are your initial thoughts after hearing this video? I think basically they got in this fight and then the girl was like, okay, well, we're not going to see eye to eye, so I'm okay if we just part ways. Because she was basically like, I didn't know this upset you. Also, I'm sorry you bought it for me. Like, I didn't think anything of it. Like, I just got a few more because I thought they were gorgeous. What do you think?
Initially, I was like, I need more to the story. Like, there's more layers here. I need more info. So I like deep stalked and watched like all this girl's videos. And at first, I'm like making this about me right now, but I was like, something is a little off-putting me. I was like, I think I like love her, but I'm not sure yet. Like I was like getting conflicted vibes. And then and then I watch another video and I'm like, I think she just reminds me of me. Like I feel like the way we talk is similar. And I feel like, you know, sometimes when someone does something that you do, it like bothers you.
Then
I was starting to feel that way. Then I get to another video and she's like, I'm a Libra sun, Capricorn moon. And I'm like,
stop. Literally you.
So I think the way that she's speaking is coming off matter of factly. Like she's not that emotionally invested. Like this other friend was so upset. Obviously this was a huge deal. The hand chain, the list of all the things she did wrong. And the creator of the video is like, bro, I don't care. And like, I feel like that's me where I'm just like, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Like if it was that deep, you should let me know a while ago. Like,
yes. Okay. That was the big part that I forgot, that I just saw from the comments. She had a notebook of things over the last like 3 years that the girl had done that had bothered her. And it was like only triggered from this bracelet situation. But she said, I could hear her flipping pages while she was just like berating me for an hour of like all these different instances in the past where I had hurt her feelings.
Yeah. And that's a bit much for me. Like, I think if it was only the hand chains and that was the only thing, I would maybe have slightly sided with the other girl of being like, okay, that was a unique thing of mine. And now it's kind of bothering me that you're wearing one. But this other girl said she needs to take them off completely. Like that was where it was weird and like a little possessive for me. It wasn't just like, hey, I don't like that you're wearing it anymore. She was like, no, you need to get rid of it. And like that, I feel like was the culmination. It's never just about one thing. Like, clearly in her notebook, there were a lot of things that had upset her over time, but that is her job to have communicated that within the 5-year friendship.
Yeah.
Why did you wait so long?
I'm really siding with the comments on this one. I think a lot of the people kind of said exactly what I was feeling. Someone commented, if I bought someone a gift and they went out of their way to buy more of what I bought them because they loved it so much, I would be giggling and kicking my feet. Like, I'd be happy that I got them the right thing. And if that was so personal, because I agree with having a personal brand and having mm-hmm. things that you identify as core to you. Like, maybe it's a cowboy boot necklace, or like it's these like Lucky Charm earrings or something that's like so you.
These unique tattoos.
I would not go to my best friend and be like, hey, we should go get you tattooed with a super unique quote or thing and do the exact, like, make that yours. Don't offer that up to someone if you don't want them copying you. Because I feel like if you give someone a gift of the hand chain, like, that means
you're,
you don't give
them
a
permission.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, you don't care. You're inviting them into what you think is your brand, I guess. I don't know. So I agree with that. Like, I think there's literally no grounds to be upset if someone bought more of something that you bought them. And then another comment was, what grade was this in? And then she said adulthood. I thought that was funny. And then a lot of the comments, so actually someone sent this to me and they said it reminded me of a falling out that I had last year. And that's how I found the video, was because someone sent it to me. And I was like, oh my gosh, like down to a T, this is almost exactly what happened to me. Of like something that, you know what, as someone who can see both sides to a story, like I could see how that might make that person upset. Like how you said, like, even though the girl bought her the bracelet, you could see why that might make her upset if someone bought more, even if like that is kind of crazy. And it's not on pen and paper something that is hurtful or rude. And I was kind of in the same situation. Like I had something happen where on pen and paper, not something like cheating on a boyfriend or like, you know, doing something that is clearly someone's in the wrong. I was in a situation where like, I can see why that made that person upset. But then they came to me and had a list of like 30 things that I had done in the last year that made them mad over like an accumulation of 2 years. And I'm like, okay, at this point, what are we doing here? Like, why weren't you being open and communicating from the get-go, from the first thing or the second thing? Because now this tiny minor thing of buying a bracelet has just tipped this friendship over the edge. And like, there's literally no coming back from this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When it's like, it really didn't have that much to do with the bracelet. It had everything to do with all of the other stuff.
Yeah. Like one of the comments, like the weirdest part is that she kept count. Someone said, not her keeping tabs. I had a friend like this. So glad she's not in my life anymore. And one of the comments said, I refuse to believe a person is upset with me until they tell me. I'm not about to waste my peace worrying about unspoken feelings. And that was exactly how I felt in this situation that is so similar to the one that I went through. Like, I had no idea that I had upset this person, but I'm not going to sit and create anxiety thinking about everything I've ever said or done and like disturb my peace for something that someone doesn't have the courage to say out loud. Like, because I used to do that and I had anxiety and I would convince myself people were mad at me and then I would talk to them about it and they're like, no, what? Like, what is going on? You're fine. Like, I'm not mad at you. I just didn't text you back. I'm like, oh my gosh. So ever since then, I vowed to not do that. And I think that's the better way of living life. And the girl that I kind of had a falling out with was like, well, I think that everyone needs to check in on people and like have accountability for everything that they do. And I'm like, okay, well, I follow the 4 agreements and it teaches you not to do that. So I don't think we can continue our friendship.
Yeah. And of course, accountability comes into it, but it's like once it's brought up, like,
exactly.
If they say, hey, you did this, it upset me, then you can take accountability and be like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. But until then, there's no point in ruminating over assuming
unspoken
someone
feelings.
Is mad at you when they might not even be mad at you. And so, like all falling outs and situations and breakups and whatever, usually a lack of communication is ultimately why the fallout happens, because it gets bigger and bigger. And then it explodes. And if you can talk about it along the lines of how it's happening, then usually
you nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another comment was like, it's the passive aggressiveness. Like, be direct, or I'm just going to act like everything is okay. LOL. I'm like, that's how I am. Like, and when things aren't okay, it sucks, but I've gotten so much better now just directly talking to that person, being like, hey, I'm sorry. This went down. That wasn't cool. And it is really hard to do that. But if you actually care about your friendships, you don't keep a notebook tab of every time that they did something wrong to you, because they're never going to know. And then you're going to all of a sudden blow up on them because they bought a bracelet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfair to let things get that far.
Yeah.
Like if someone does something and it is presently upsetting you so much that you're like thinking about it and journaling on it and like keep stewing over it, well, why are you going to wait 2 years to bring it up? Like, have the courage to have a hard conversation. And literally every time I've had a clearing conversation, it helps so much. I'll find it. There's this podcast I really enjoy. It's called Almost 30. And they have one episode called How to Have a Clearing Conversation. And it is so valuable and impactful. And yeah, I don't know. I'll link it if anyone has someone in their life that they're like, oh, we really got to talk this out.
Yeah.
Listen to that episode first. It's really good.
Because we're all going to have those conversations. Like, no one's perfect. I'm not perfect. Mm-mm. You're not perfect. Our friends aren't perfect. People are going to do stuff that upset us. And again, I feel like a lot of the time, those clearing conversations are the instances where it's not a black and white issue. Mm-mm. Like, it's not like your friend stole from you and they knew that was wrong. You knew that was wrong. It's like something like, hey, you said this and like you meant it this way, but I kind of took it this way. Or it's little things like that where you have to talk it through, because even all of our friends are going to read different things differently. You can treat your friends the exact same and one's going to find it was very hurtful to them. The other one's going to not even bat an eye. That's just how life is.
100%. Me and my mom had a 3-hour clearing conversation last night because she said this, I said this, and how we perceived it, both of us were a foot over to the right. Like, our recap of the situation was not the same story, because we all have our own trauma, experience, whatever, of a situation. So we see it one way and the other person is bringing their entire past, their perception, how they were feeling that day. If they had a hard day at work, if they're in a rush somewhere and they're perceiving it one way. And then if you don't get on the same page, you can both think that like an entirely different scenario unfolded. And so, if something is bothering you, it's important once you've both had time to like see it for what it actually is. Because I think you don't want to have a clearing conversation too quickly, because then it can be very heated. You can say things you don't need. It's too emotionally charged. So you have to take enough time to process, feel it out, get some perspective, maybe talk to someone else, talk to your therapist, and then don't let too much time pass to where then you're sweeping it under the rug. It's tricky.
There is a fine line. I mean, I always follow the 24-hour rule at the bare minimum. That definitely always helps. But yeah, I feel like the sooner, like you said, you can get on top of it, you without being too soon, then you are less likely for it to get heated. Because I think things get heated, like you said, once it accrues, once you have a notebook with 20 different things from 20 different times, and you're like, wait, what? Yeah. The list that my friend had referenced to me, one of the things on there was like, and we took a group photo at this one place this one time, and you were so bossy to my friend of how to take the photo. And I was like, what? Your friend is also my friend. Like, that's an example of like me joking with that friend. Like, I felt like we were on the same page of like, hey, you're taking it this way, like joking around. And for her, she's like, I'm attacking her friend. You can just totally read a situation so differently.
And then every time we re-remember a situation from our past, our brain like literally changes it. So it's like the first time she might have remembered it, she might have been like, oh, she was like a little snippy with her. And the second time she remembers it, it was like, oh, she was like bossing around. Third time she remembers it, she's like, she was like yelling. In charge, commanding her around the room.
And like, it was a guy. So it was a guy taking, but I feel like that makes it better, because I'm like, if I'm yelling at a guy to take our photo, then it's like, what? It's literally a dude. It's fine. They're not going to go cry about it.
But it is important that I feel like,
no, it is.
Each time we remember it differently. Because 100%. Clay and I had this whole like mind fuck about when we remember things from our trips in the past, we decided that we made our trips better than they even were. Like, let's take this one instance. We're like sitting out on this patio in the mountains, we're like drinking coffee. And the next time we remember it, we're like, there was a rainbow. The next time we remembered it, it was like, the waitress was so nice.
We're like, actually, we don't even know if this is correct or not.
Yeah, like we got to these points in our like memory recaps. We're like, is this real? Or are we just like making up details like to add to the plot?
Honestly, what's the harm? If it's like a positive, making things up, That's fine. But no, it is true. I had a communications law class in college, and she was like, the way that, I think it was like 40% of people recall things correctly. Like, they did a study of, they had people in a grocery store parking lot, and then they had like a red Corvette drive by while something else is happening, and they like had people watch, and they're like, okay, what color was that really loud car that went by? And they're like, it was blue. Like, no, like literally only like 40% got it right. And it's like, okay, when we're using these people as witnesses in a court of law, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't, our memories are actually not that good.
No, they're not that good. So give people grace when you're in fights with people, because their memory might be a little off. Your memory might be a little off. And like we said, getting on top of it, not having a burn book of different things, of all these times someone upset you, it's not healthy. So all in all, I agree with you. I would like to see the other person's side of the story. Like, if this other girl did have a perspective, honestly, the other girl could have made the same video and probably convinced everybody to be on her side too. That's the kind of thing with fights. I feel like whoever's telling the story definitely paints it in a better light. But I will say, if this is the truth of what happened, it makes me think that the other girl was not a very good communicator. And also, protect your brand. Don't give away something that's so special to you if you don't want other people wearing it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, I agree.
Period. Okay. Well, that was our second episode of Opinionated AF. New branding, same concept. Let us know if you guys like this format. We definitely like it. We love chatting with the girlies and just going on rants.
And the gays and the guys. I know we've got all kinds of listeners out here.
You're right. 100%.
Well, we will catch you guys next week.
Yes, thanks so much for being here for another episode of Are You Friends? See you next time.
Bye. Okay, wait, really quick before you go, if you want a chance to be the Are You Friends Listener of the Week, we have something for you. Leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And for bonus entries, there's so many ways to support our show. Share about us on your Instagram story, engage with us over on TikTok, post on our Facebook group, join the Patreon page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Make sure to send that rating and review to our Instagram page, Are You Friends Podcast, and we pick a new Listener of the Week every Wednesday. We'll send you a $10 Visa gift card if you win, just as a way of saying thank you, to buy you a coffee, buy you a sweet little treat, whatever you want. Thanks again, you guys. We appreciate you so, so much, and we'll catch you next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.